Welcome to today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light. Sun, Salt, and Light, S-O-N, knowing and growing in your daily relationship with Jesus Christ, but also being the salt and the light in your marriage, in your family, at your place of work, at your church, and even in the community you're in. I'm Pastor Michael Petit. This is a radio ministry of our church, Calvary Chapel Divine, here in Divine, Texas. We are so glad that you joined us for today's broadcast. We are a Calvary Chapel, so we simply teach the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We believe that God uses His Word to transform, restore, and to change lives one verse at a time. If you're visiting our area, you'd like to get information about our church or church service times, maybe even track down some of the other teachings that we have available through podcast, whether it's through Audible or Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you can do all of that at our church website at calvarydivine.org. That's calvarydivine.org. If you have your Bibles ready, we'll continue our verse-by-verse study through the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. I simply entitled this, As to This Salvation. Here is the first half of this two-part study. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. I simply entitled this, As to This Salvation. We'll look at it in two parts, Searching and Seeking to Know in verses 10 and 11, and Sent from Heaven in verse 12. So last week we were in verses 8 and 9, and 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 simply read this. It says, And though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. So one of the things that we learned last week is, as a follower of Christ and as your walk in Christ, it requires two things. And if one of those two things is not working, you got problems. Right, he talked about the invisible God, the God that had not been seen, but you love Him. And that word was agape love. And then he used the other word, believe, which is actually trust. And if you have no love, but you trust, you have no relationship. If you have trust with no love, you still have no relationship. It requires both. And so for us, in order for us to have our walks strengthened, we need that love and trust. But he says, with that, you greatly rejoice. And that's the second time that he's used that phrase, greatly rejoice. But he says now that there's a joy inexpressible, full of glory. It's like you're greatly rejoicing in the fact that you have this faith. One of the things I love is it's like it's the faith that's the salvation of your soul. You can greatly rejoice in the suffering because, again, who is Peter writing to? Peter is writing to the Jews primarily in Turkey that were refugees, that were kicked out of their countries because they were following Jesus Christ. They had lost loved ones. They had lost their belongings. They had lost everything. Some of them had been ostracized from their families. They weren't allowed to, they were dead to them. And Peter's writing to them and telling them, look, this joy, this is inexpressible joy. Why? Because you have a place that's prepared for you in heaven. You have an inheritance that's prepared for you. Right? We went over that. But that your soul, primarily, the number one thing is your soul belongs to Him and you have heaven. You'll be with Him in heaven. That your sin is paid. The debt of your sin cannot be paid by you. No matter what you think you do or what you think you can do, it can't be paid by you. And so he's telling you, like, that love and trust, it's a joy, it's an inexpressible joy because you have the outcome of your faith and the salvation of your souls. And so when he gets into this next piece of the verse, Peter is, and sometimes we think of Peter in a way of just his mistakes, right? You got to be very careful with that because Peter quotes the Old Testament in Pentecost. Peter knew the Word of God, okay? So through all the mistakes, Peter knew God's Word. And so when he gets to Pentecost, he starts quoting the Old Testament prophets. And that's what he's going to do here as we get into these verses as he talks about the prophets. The first part we see is that he's searching and seeking to know in verses 10 through 11. It says in verse 10, as to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries. So the first thing we need to stop is that simple sentence, as to this salvation. It doesn't say as to a salvation. It's this salvation. There's only one. And that's very important that we get. There's only one salvation. There have been many false religions and cults that have been birthed because what they want to do is they want to try to explain away Jesus. Or they say, okay, well, it's Jesus plus this other thing, and then you're saved. All those things that do that, there's only one way. It's only through Jesus Christ. See, we forget when man tries to put things into place, we see in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 18, or 1 Samuel 17, verse 8, when Goliath is calling out Israel, there's something that you got to catch in this, and it's very important. It says, he stood and he shouted to the ranks of Israel and said to them, why do you come out and draw up in battle formation? I am not the Philistine and you the servants of Saul. This is man's problem. They wanted a king. They were no longer known as the servants of who? God. They were known now as the servants of Saul. And what happens is when we have these false religions that come up, we start looking for somebody to solve our problems besides God. It's very important that you understand this. They thought Saul was their answer. There's nobody in DC that's the answer. Okay? There's no pastor that's the... You don't follow pastors and treat them as superstars. You're following the Word of God and God, not the servants of Saul. See, false religions begin in these type of ways. When we think about this, it's important for us to understand that there is no other salvation. We have to understand that we were all lost, right? We're either one or two things. You're either lost or you're found, is what one of the pastors, John Randall, spoke about this week. You're either lost or found. Which one are you? Because there's only one way, is Jesus Christ. And so when we look at false teachers like Joseph Smith or T.D. Jakes or Michael Todd or Kenneth Copeland or Benny Hinn, they're false teachers. But the original false teachers, guys like Joseph Smith, who decided to rewrite the Bible to include himself, and then add a book to the Bible, the book of Abraham, which is false, the Mormon faith. But the original false religion, Muslim, Muhammad. As to this salvation, there are billions of people that have followed the Muslim faith and gone straight to hell. See, we don't talk about this because, oh, we don't want to step on toes. But at the end of the day, I would rather step on your toes a little bit and let you know that you're following something, or you need to know what they're following is wrong. That's why when we look at this, you think about Muhammad's thought pattern was, hey, you pray five times a day in a certain position, in a certain way. You keep the Quran, and guess what? You may get to heaven. Allah may let you in. We don't know. See, that's a false religion. And see, Paul was dealing with that stuff very on. As to this salvation, Paul was dealing with it very early on as the early church. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, it says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for his sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of God and Father, to whom be the glory forevermore. Amen. I am amazed at you, and this is the part right here, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. They were already falling away, which is not just another account, but there are some of who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even
If you're an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, even now I say again, if anyone preached to you, he repeats it, to preach to you a gospel contrary to what you receive, he is to be accursed. And that word in the Greek is to be damned. He says it twice. And this book was available to the prophet Muhammad. It was written and available at the time Muhammad wrote the Quran. And yet he went ahead and wrote a false teaching. And how many people did he lead astray? How many people has Joseph Smith led astray? How many people has Kenneth Copeland and Benny Hinn and T.D. Jakes have led astray? All roads lead to heaven. No, they don't. The Oprah Winfrey way of heaven is false. It's a false teaching. The Tyler Perry way of all roads lead to heaven is a false teaching. The Steve Harvey, all roads lead to heaven, is a false teaching. And if you look at the Apocrypha of the Catholic Church, it's a false teaching. If we're going to be real about this, we need to be real. There's only one salvation. And so this little verse that's in there as to this salvation is so important that you get this. Peter, that little sentence, he's like, there's no other salvation. And so salvation was always the plan. Grace was always there was no other plan. God always had a plan. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 8 through 11, it says, but since we are of the day, let's be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as the helmet of the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you also are doing. God never destined anybody for wrath. You have free will. You have a choice. But it's through obtaining salvation. And there's only one salvation. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 10, it says, and they cried out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to who? Our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. So when we see this, it's very important for us to catch this, that Peter, this is actually just in, we're just now in verse 10. And Peter's already mentioned salvation three times. And I told you, every time that you see in the Bible, when you read it and you see it over and over, you need to pay attention. Peter is trying to emphasize, look, this is the salvation. There is no other salvation. It's only through Jesus Christ. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, he talked about who are protected by the power of God through faith. For a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So he's talking about the future of salvation, the inheritance. That's what he went over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. There is, in glorification, there is an inheritance waiting for you in heaven. And we spoke about that. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, it says, obtaining as the income of your outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul, or souls. So obtaining as the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Talking about the present time sanctification. Because you loved and believed in him, you trusted him, that salvation has been obtained through faith and grace. And then now what he does is when he gets to verse 10, he's covering everything, past, present, future. Because he's saying, as to this salvation, past, present, and future, it's yours. You've obtained it. You're his child. There's an inheritance in heaven waiting for you. There's a room that's being prepared for you. You'll be worshiping Jesus one day. Because the sin that you can never pay has been paid by the cross. And that is the only way as to this salvation. It's through his son, Jesus Christ. That's why he says, I am the way, not a way, the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through who? Jesus. There's no other way. And then what I love is he's not only going to give you that statement, but he's going to give you the supporting reason why that statement is true. He's like, hey, remember the Old Testament? It's important. A lot of people don't read it. I don't know why. That's why at Calvary we teach verse by verse, but we teach the Old Testament and the New. We don't stay in just the New Testament. And trust me, there'll be a time when we will teach the Old Testament on a Sunday. Well, there's no rule. Pastors think, oh, well, there's a rule. You're not allowed to teach on a Sunday the Old Testament. No, you teach the Word of God, verse by verse. It's okay. Y'all going to get it Wednesday. Wednesday, we're in Genesis 19. We're continuing the wonderful tour of Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, that's going to be fun. But we see this salvation as he's talking about it, but he says the very important statement as to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries. He's talking about the prophets of the Old Testament, the prophets that were given divine inspired revelation from God through the Holy Spirit to give us the prophecies of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and this salvation. The importance of that. And Peter even talks about that in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. That's why we have the Bible. It was men that were moved by the Holy Spirit. God spoke. Jesus even talked about this with his disciples. In Luke chapter 10, verses 23 through 24, turning to his disciples, he said privately, blessed are the eyes that see these things you see. And they're probably thinking, what? Right? What are we seeing that's so important? But he says, for I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see these things that you see and did not see them, and to hear these things that you hear and did not hear them. He goes on to say in Luke 24, verses 44 through 49, he says, now he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all the things that are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, so it is written that Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are the witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with the power on high. He tells them, hey, the things that were written about me in the book of Moses. So this is the old Old Testament. Hey, the book of Moses has prophecy in it about me. The prophets wrote about me, the major and minor prophets. And then also in the Psalms, it spoke about the forgiveness of sins and salvation. When he's on the road of Emmaus, he actually told the two men, and he said in Luke chapter 24, verses 25 to 27, he said to them, you foolish men and slow of heart to believe all the prophets had spoken. It is necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to come into his glory. The beginning with Moses and with all the prophecies explained to them the things written about himself in all the scriptures. He's like breaking everything down to them in the scriptures about the prophets that was written about him. Right? That were written about him. And so that is important for us to remember, is like, at the end of the day, these things are important to understand. You have the prophets who prophesied about what? Grace. Grace. It's undeserved favor. It is written about it in Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and for this is not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Peter writes about grace another 10 times in this gospel. It's a very important word that he uses over and over, and yet many Christians will take a very one or two way. They're either very legalistic are very loose when it comes to grace, right? They're either legalistic or they're very loose when it comes to grace. And we need to be very careful with that. It's misunderstood widely by many. In Titus chapter 2, verses 11, it says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people." It has the appearance, and we have to remember it's the grace of God that brings salvation to all people. The grace of God that was always planned. The grace of God that is glorious. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, to praise the glory of His grace with which He favored us in the Beloved. It's the grace of God that is abundant. In Acts chapter 4, verse 33, "And with great power the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all." It's the grace of God that is rich. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of wrongdoings according to the riches of His grace." It's the grace of God that is sufficient. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, it says, "And He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness, that the power of Christ may dwell in me.'" My grace is sufficient. And then again in verse 10 here, we have the grace of God is manifold. It's many-sided. And that's why He's who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, made careful searches and inquiries. They actually, that word means that they exhausted their searching. They did everything they could. If you think about, and as we studied the book of Daniel not too long ago, you think about Daniel. Daniel exhausted everything. He exhausted the time in the Word. He exhausted his prayer life trying to find answers to this salvation that was going to come, the Messiah. He was trying to figure it out. To the point in Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, it says, "So I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek Him by prayer and pleading with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." Like, he's like, "Lord, show me." And how carefully do we search the Scriptures for ourselves? How carefully do we search the Scriptures of the second coming of Christ? Are you exhausting everything to find out about that? You know, because He says that the prophets who prophesied of the grace, that they would come to you and made careful searches and inquiries. And when we think about the gospel today, the gospel that needs to be preached, the gospel that's got to be given to the church is His second coming. The prophets of the Old Testament had what? The Messiah, the salvation of grace. You have the whole book. And the whole book, and the thing that should be warning the people today is Jesus Christ is returning. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That is the church's responsibility. But I ask you, do you carefully search out the Scriptures? Are you searching? Are you wringing out the Scriptures the way that Daniel was? Daniel was pleading the Lord, seeking Him through prayer, fasting, and sackcloth and ashes, to the point Gabriel shows up, an angel. Like, "We heard you. God heard you. He sent me to you." Can you imagine that? See, we in our heads, we can't imagine that. That's the problem. That's the problem with Christians. When I look at this, and I remember praying that for the church. I'm like, "Lord, I know that if it happened for Daniel, it can happen for us." That's why I always pray. And I remember Ryan Reese doing this. And he would always say, "Man, even if you don't accept God right now, I'm going to pray that the Lord shows up in a way that's so real in your life, you're going to have to make a decision. Through some circumstance, through somebody coming and talking to you, through prayer, through a dream, whatever it is, it's going to be so real that you're going to go, 'I need Jesus.'" But see, that's how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be searching carefully the Scriptures daily. Daily. You know, last week I had somebody come up to me and they brought their Bible to me. and they had a question about Revelation. And it's one of those questions that's not, it's, that's the joy of the Bible. There are some things we won't know till we get to heaven, right? And when you go to commentaries, it's the hardest thing when you go to commentaries and one commentary says one thing and another commentary says another thing, and you're trying to figure out, okay, well, where do I stand in this? What am I getting as I'm searching and seeking and inquiring about the scripture? What do I believe?
Well, that concludes today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light Radio. We hope that you enjoyed it. If you'd like to submit a prayer request or get in contact with us or find out service times, you can do all of that at our website, as well as get our podcast at Spotify, Audible, TuneIn Radio, pretty much wherever you can find a podcast. You can just type in Sun, Salt, and Light, and you'll find it.